Support for this podcast comes from Metashift, my talent acquisition consulting business. In an increasingly competitive world for talent, Metashift helps employers dramatically improve the quality of their talent acquisition by turbocharging their recruitment marketing, employer brand, and career site strategies, as well as being a guiding light through the exponentially confusing world of recruiting technology. If you want to find out more about how Metashift can help you, then please get in touch with me via email at matt@metashift.co.uk. That's matt@metashift.co.uk.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to a special crossover show where the Recruiting Future podcast and the Chad and Cheese show collide. For those of you not familiar with Chad and Cheese, their podcast is an institution in the recruiting technology space, billing itself as HR's most dangerous podcast. I finally got to meet the guys face to face in Lisbon a few weeks back, and as you'll hear, Chad hatched this plan for a podcast crossover. This show will also be broadcast as an episode of the Chad and Cheese Show, with a slightly different edit. It's a long and boring story, but I've had to cut out the usual profanity that comes with an episode of the Chad and Cheese Show due to Apple Podcast distribution restrictions in some of the countries where my show has an audience. So with that said, keep listening for discussion around recruiting technology adoption and the future of the space. And if you want to hear the version with all the swearing, although there wasn't really that much, then you can check that out at chadandcheese.com afterwards.
Push record already. Jesus.
Yeah, let's just get started. Come on.
I'm so confused right now.
Absolutely. whose show am I on? Whose show is this? It's a bit strange.
This is our collective show. So for everybody that's out there, actually, we finally got a chance to meet Matt in Portugal. And I had this crazy idea of, hey, let's just sit down and do a crossover podcast where we're going to be on Matt's pod. He's going to be on our pod and we're going to just have a free for all. So how's that sound?
All your ideas are crazy, by the way. You don't have to like put crazy idea, just say idea and people know it's crazy.
That's redundant is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So never mind the Bullocks. We have Britain's, Edinburgh's, Matt Alderon, I guess, because he's pushing this out as his show and we're pushing it out as our show. We should probably all do quick introductions because his audience doesn't know us possibly and our audience doesn't know him possibly. So should we get that out of the way?
Yeah, let's let Matt go first.
Yeah, let's do it. So I'm Matt Alder and I run the Recruiting Future podcast, which some of you will be listening to. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Which some of you will be listening to right now in this kind of weird crossover thing that we're doing. The show's been going 4 years, and every week I interview thought leaders and practitioners about the changing nature of talent acquisition and the future of recruiting.
So you're primarily practitioners, whereas we're more vendor side. You're more the practitioners. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I mean, tell us about your show. For my audience,
We are a weekly roundup of news from the industry, primarily what vendors are doing, who's buying whom, and who's doing what, and how monster commercials are, and how Indeed's going down the tubes. That's kind of the stuff that we talk about. We have a show called Firing Squad that is sort of like Shark Tank for startups. We have usually at least two times a month, we do a deep dive into something like automation, AI, chatbots, whatever sort of interesting and in the now. And then we sort of do a bunch of side. I don't know. What else would you add?
Yeah, the shred. I mean, our focus is to be able to help all those individuals that are out there, whether they're talent acquisition or they're vendors, to better understand what the hell's going on in the landscape. There's so much noise out there right now. We'll do the research. We'll put it out, obviously, with our opinion. But you get a lot of content about a lot of shit that's happening in our industry. And people seem to dig it.
Exactly.
So you're in talking with obviously talent acquisition professionals, staffing professionals, what have you. What are you seeing today as one of their biggest issues that you're trying to help them through, or they're listening to your podcast to be able to try to get some hints and or shortcuts through?
Interesting question, because I think the answer to it comes back to something that you guys just said. I think the biggest challenge I'm finding lots of talent acquisition professionals have is the sheer amount of noise in the marketplace. So people are really struggling to get their head around the technology that's available and how it might actually help solve their problems and add some value to them. There's this this great sense that people are missing out on some silver bullet technology, and just a lot of confusion about what's out there and how it could work. And
how are they dealing with learning about the new stuff? Are they putting their head in the sand, or are they actively trying to figure it all out?
I think what I find is that a lot of the people who are really getting on top of this are talking to their peers about it. So going to events, finding out who's using what and how it's working for them. And really, that's kind of one of the objectives of my podcast, is to get people on, talk about how they're sort of facing their talent acquisition challenges, the methods they're using, the technology they're using, what's working, what's not working, and what's never going to work.
That's great, because I have this theory that, like, all the emails that go out, the content marketing, like the typical sort of interruption marketing, is all wasted dollars in many aspects, because a lot of this is just social media. Hey, who do you guys use as an ATS? Like, hey, who does everybody use for their chatbot? Like, are you saying that that's primarily how people make buying decisions today?
I think it's part of it. I do have sometimes a bit of an issue with those kind of social media requests, because I think that if you're just asking randomly on Facebook, hey, what's a good ATS? I think it's difficult to get a good answer, because people will not appreciate your unique challenges or your objectives or the type of company you are. So, you know, I think that's one end of it. But I do think that the events, the peer-to-peer conversations, the networking that goes on is driving a lot of this stuff, because I think that a lot of the marketing that comes out into this space, it's really about the vendor's own objectives. So it's like they've kind of got together and say, hey, what problems do we solve? These are great problems. We'll solve them. And a lot of the time, I don't think they actually talk to their potential customers or think about what issues they actually have. So I think sometimes technology will solve a problem very effectively, but that problem might be number 50 on the list of problems that someone working in talent acquisition actually has.
Well, and don't you find that most of these companies really don't truly understand what their problems are? They're hearing so much noise out there, and then Jenny from across the street said her ATS was the best.
Jenny,
I mean,
from the
process. I feel like the thing that companies need to really focus on today is their process. They have like a 1990s process methodology that they try to jam into their technology, which just doesn't work. And then they try to layer more technology on it before they really truly find out what their process should be, and will that process actually alleviate some of those problems? And then prioritization of those problems. And then at that point, after you've gone through all of that, then start talking about technology, but not until then.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with that. I couldn't agree with that more. I think some of the best guests I've had on my show are the people who've gone all the way back to understanding what their objectives are, and then building from there. It's like, well, what actually are our problems? Do these problems actually properly align to where our business is going? Are they the right problems to be solving? And then how do we do that? What's the best way to solve it? And then technology is the final piece of that puzzle.
Do you find it's hard to get corporate folks to open up to you?
Good question. I'm kind of working off a bit of a fake sample, I think, because I was going to say no, I have some great guests and they always sort of talk about what they're doing. But, I think my guests are a subset of that kind of corporate population, if you like, because I think they're people who are open and really happy about talking about what they're doing. They've got a story to share. They've done something good. So the guests that I have on, no problem at all. They're very, very open to share share their learnings, whether that's the same for everyone who works in talent acquisition. Probably not.
So we know you're British and you're polite, but what do you got for us? Any questions?
Yeah, so I've got a few questions. So you claim to be HR's most dangerous podcast. And I was talking to someone who isn't in HR or recruiting about your show, actually, the other day. And they asked me, why was it so dangerous? So, you know, why are you so dangerous?
No, my answer is, you know, Chad and I are at a point in our careers, we kind of work for ourselves. We don't have really any corporate interests. We can be blunt. Both of our personalities are sort of no nonsense. I think a lot of the podcasts out there, you know, someone's got an association they got to think about. Someone's got an employer they have to think about. Someone, you know, there's always something that sort of gets in the way of honest, open, sort of brutal honesty and talk. And I think we're able to cut through that just because of our situations.
And it's easy to be HR's most dangerous podcast because nothing in HR is dangerous in the first place. So just ratcheting it up just a couple of levels and putting some snark in it, it makes it dangerous. So it's pretty simple to be dangerous in HR.
Yeah, we're the poodle in the dog kennel.
Well, that's a really good point. Do you get any complaints?
I think we've gotten one complaint thus far, and the advice to anybody who is complaining is don't listen. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's your choice to either plug in and listen to us or not. This isn't Russia. We're not, you know, doing state-sponsored podcasts or anything like that. Just don't listen.
And we're okay with criticism. Just, you know, bring it. You know, bring facts, bring what you got. Like, don't, you know, the social media grenades that, you know, they don't want to come on the show or they don't want to back up whatever it is. Like, I'll give you an example. We had somebody make the claim that we only have advertisers because they feel threatened that we're going to like F-bomb them to hell if they don't give us money for the show. And that's just simply ridiculous. We don't threaten anybody to give us money for sponsoring the show. All of our sponsors love us. I mean, so to make a claim like that is either you better come on the show and defend your position, or on social media, you better come with some facts that backs up that statement, because that's a really, that's a big claim to make if you don't have any facts to back it up.
Yeah. And we're going to come, we're going to come straight at you on the podcast to tell you how it is and ask for you to come on the show to, you know, again, voice your opinion so we can land base your ass there.
Well, I think that's the great thing about podcasting is, there's no keyboard warriors here. Everyone is having to back up their opinion and talk about justify it and not hide behind a keyboard. Another question for you. So my podcast is about the future of recruiting. What's the future of recruiting?
From our standpoint, you know, we talk a lot about technology. And that's what we feel the future of recruiting is. It's not total robots, technology, so on and so forth. But especially now, as we talk about process and problems, there are many pieces of technology that could get rid of the mundane, bullshit, problematic tasks that we face today. And I feel like the switch of just having people-powered recruiting will have more of a automatic, automated, enabled people recruiting where candidates don't go into the black hole anymore, right? That's the problem when you have only people doing this. When you have automation support humans, then we can get into more of a humanistic type of recruiting culture. But we haven't been there for years. So I think from our standpoint, we talk about recruiting so much on the technology side because that's where we see the future of it going. It's like 10 guy, right? And Jacob on Facebook was giving us so much because this 10 guy robot is an interviewing robot and it's not human and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, look, you've got to realize these guys are pushing the next frontier of what we're doing. Candidates are already having a experience as it is right now. They're having biased experience right now. Whatever we can do to try to push that boundary to see if we can do better, That's not the problem. That's the answer. It might not work, but guess what? Unless we try, we'll never know. And those are the things that we like to push on our show.
I think that your point of everyone's sort of confused with the noise out there really underscores what the future recruiter needs to look like. They have to have a really good, broad or basic understanding of the technology that's going on and being developed and what's coming down the pike. Because if they don't keep up, they're going to be eliminated. You know, the old days of like, hey, I'm a tool in the tool chest and I can live like that are, I think, going away. And you have to have a very broad toolkit to know everything that's going on and know what a chatbot is, know what, you know, AI is, and know what these vendors are, and know what, you know, messaging is and the different platforms for that and how to use it and what's, you know, advertising. And now there's podcasts, there's going to be video down the pike, and how do we best use that stuff? And there's Snapchat and there's Instagram and there's TikTok, and there's like, you have to be really smart and keep up with it if you're going to be successful. The ones that don't are going to be left behind. I think that the line between what's marketing and recruiting is really blurring more and more each day. And for the recruiters that aren't marketers or think of themselves in that way are going to be left behind.
So back to your question, what do you feel the future of recruitment is? And I mean, you being, you know, more across the pond on the UK side of the house, it's much different than over here in the US. How do you feel that differs from kind of like our vantage point?
I would say it's very similar, actually. I think that from a big picture perspective, we're kind of pretty much aligned. There are lots of differences between recruiting in North America, recruiting in Europe, and recruiting elsewhere around the world. But I think the overall direction is very much the same. And I kind of really agree with what you just said. And I think the key to this is actually critical thinking, because I think understanding what's going on, being able to spot what's a useful tool from what's just a load of hype. But at the same time, I think it's having this real sense of being open-minded. And I think Tengai is a really interesting example of that, because, like you, I had Tengai on the podcast because we were all in sort of Portugal and recorded it, and kind of got similar feedback. And I think when you actually sort of sit down and analyze that, the robot is only a small part of that story. There's a whole sort of bigger story about trying to solve the problem of bias. Also, that is a very, very early stage product. That's there's no uses data. There's nothing but conjecture. And I think until something gets out in the field and people actually come back and say, I hate this, I think it's just too early to make those very, very.
Were you surprised at the divisiveness of the opinion? And to quote your great statesman William Shakespeare, "Doth thou protest too much?" Like I think it's very telling about a product when so many recruiters hate it.
I don't think I was surprised, because I've seen that round almost every time there's some kind of leap forward in recruiting, whether it was the internet to start with, or social media, or then robots or whatever it is. There's always this kind of massive emotional reaction, and I think that I think where it just gets confusing is there are also a number of products that have come out that have proved to be useless or before their time or not delivering the hype they promised, and it just all gets kind of mixed up together. But I think that if you take a step back and look at this and say, you know what, as it stands at the moment, no one will argue with you when you say, do you know what, talent acquisition is not as efficient as it could be. It has these elements of bias. The candidates are being given a really bad experience, and there seems to be no sort of quick fix or easy way of doing that, whatever people say. Then you know that the industry is going to change and things are going to come along and move that forward. And it's I just think it's important to kind of have an open mind and look at things and say, well, this could be it, or it might not be, but let's at least see what happens. On chatbots, there was a huge kind of backlash, certainly in the UK, when chatbots first appeared, that candidates wouldn't like them and all this sort of stuff. And actually, a lot of the research that I've seen, and a couple of the companies that I've spoken to who are using them have come back and said, "Oh, actually, they've been successful for this, and the candidates did like them." So that's kind of wrong to a certain extent. But at the same time, and this is where I think it's all about critical thinking, that doesn't mean every candidate is going to like every iteration of every chatbot. So there will be companies who use them appallingly, and candidates hate them. So it comes back to that, you know, work out what your problems are and the way to solve them and use technology to help you. Don't use technology just for the sake of it. Or don't use it just so you can say, "Hey, that technology was rubbish and I was right all along," and things should never change.
Remember when QR codes were going to rule the world?
Ah, yeah, absolutely. There was a brilliant advert. Someone, a recruitment company in London, put a QR code on a poster on the London Underground. And the whole point was you scan this QR code to go onto a website. And this is like years before there was any internet access or any kind of coverage on the London Underground. And it was just an astonishing example of using technology because someone told us it was cool without actually thinking about any of the user experience or anything that could sort of happen around that.
Adoption, for goodness sakes, people. I mean, it's just like we have to think very keenly about adoption and how these individuals are going to adopt. I mean, scalability, all that other fun stuff, just like podcasts. When Joel and I did our first podcast, like in 2008 or something like that, the only way you could listen is on your PC, on your desk. But anyway, I mean, the adoption rate was going to be very low. And it was just, we were just having a fun time. It wasn't till like 10 years later, you know, like in 2017, where, yeah, smartphones changed it all. And it was all about the ability to adopt, right? Those are the things that we need to look at from a technology standpoint. And that being said, looking at the future of recruiting, what is your favorite type of technology right now that you think will take us into that next segment of the future of recruiting?
Oh, I was going to ask you that question.
Ah, I got
you. Oh man. Okay. Right. It's a good question because I thought of the same question. My favorite type of technology. I think I like technology that actually solves a problem. So I suppose there's sort of two answers to this. I think some of the kind of new breed ATS solutions that are coming onto the market that have been actually built built with talent acquisition in mind, not built to just kind of automate a recruitment process, but you know, built with candidates and built with recruiters in mind. I think there's some great stuff there. But sometimes I like the really kind of simple things that make a difference. So, favorite thing that I've actually seen this year is a piece of software called Video My Job. And obviously, to disclaimer to say that other providers of the same software are available. And what I like about it is we all talk about video being so important when it comes to recruitment marketing and content. And what that software does is it just makes it really easy for you to film a video. It puts subtitles up, it tells you where to put your head in the frame, and it does a few simple things to make what you're doing really good and really effective. So, you know, it's not kind of a massive groundbreaking thing. It's just something that really helps people to get good at doing video and to actually put content out there that looks as good as it can be. So I think it's simple technology like that that's my sort of current favorite stuff in a world of complexity. What about you guys?
I've got mine.
You know what I think, to piggyback on Video My Job, you know, I think part of the reason, and this also goes back to the podcasting, is that those things are effective partly because they leverage a platform of distribution.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That is now, I guess, evolved enough to where those things work. Like Video My Job would not have worked 10 years ago the way that it does today, right? Because you didn't have YouTube, you didn't have social media, you didn't have the channels to sort of easily distribute it, just like podcasting 10 years ago, or yeah, mobile. So a lot of those little technologies are great because they leverage platforms that exist today that didn't exist tomorrow. So what exactly is going to exist tomorrow platform-wise, where that will sort of give birth to these new companies? I don't know. Now, to your question of the future of recruiting, the automation piece seems really disparate right now. You have things living alone or in, you know, silos. And I think the holy grail is to be able to pull all of these things together, you know, where you basically, you know, you post a job and it, you know, it programmatically distributes everywhere. Everyone comes in through, you know, pre-screening process with a chat bot that's automated. The scheduling goes through an automation process that goes right into Google Calendar or your Microsoft, you know, programs or 365. And then, you know, the actual interviewing is when the, you know, the actual process starts. So you actually, I think, recruiting will be not talking to someone until they actually come through the door because they've been scheduled on your calendar automatically and they've been pre-screened and sourced and everything. And then that sort of face-to-face relationship is where recruiting and people who are good at that in recruiting that will really excel. So I think right now all those systems are sort of separate. Someone will bring it together. And Chad and I sort of disagree on this sort of one platform to rule them all. But it's pretty evident to me that people like Google or companies like Google, LinkedIn / Microsoft, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, and others are trying to solve that sort of one process problem. And we'll see if they can figure it out. Number two, if that really is the holy grail or not. But I do believe that's probably the future of where recruitment is going.
Yeah. My favorite right now, though, are the companies, the startups who are focused on being able to help hiring companies, staffing companies, leverage that resume database that they've spent millions of dollars building in their applicant tracking system or their system of record that they're just not using. It's ridiculous that every single day companies, recruiters are posting jobs out and they're buying candidates that they already have in their database. So big shout out to, you know, a candidate ID and opening.io who was they were on the deathmatch stage in Portugal. They both do this in different ways. Candidate ID focuses on that nurturing piece and being able to nurture the individuals that you've already purchased that are in your applicant tracking system. And then opening.io is more on the matching scheme piece. So obviously you have a job, it's open, the rec's open, it goes into your system and it pulls those candidates forward before you go to pay more money. And that's the thing is that from a talent acquisition standpoint, you know, we need to do a much better job on positively impacting business. And that means bottom line and using our dollars much better. This is more of a practical way to actually dive in and be more, more process oriented and focused on what we've already bought. So those are my favorite right now. All the video stuff, and that's all cool. But I think being able to really leverage your data that you've already bought is the key.
And I think that's challenging because you have Chad mentioned two companies that are successfully doing that. But we also have companies that did somewhat of the same thing and have clearly failed or are failing. So you have like Restless Bandit that just basically sold for pennies on the dollar, allegedly. You have Crowded, which sort of imploded internally and didn't get it done. But all those four companies are trying to solve the same problem, but half of them are succeeding and the other half are going by the wayside, which brings you to that whole confusion thing of like, I know we need to be doing this, but exactly who should be doing it? And I think that's why you look at a lot of people relying on, you know, friends and colleagues for word of mouth and recommendations on who they use.
Well, and so if companies have startups coming in, they should already know how they want to use that technology. They should know the process. They should know what their objectives are for using said technology. That's the biggest issue that we have right now. Companies are looking to startups. Many of these startups have never been in our industry before, and these individuals are not integrating. These startups are not integrating. They're not focused on really the points of execution of how to make it work because they don't understand how it should work. So,
well, don't forget about pivots, right? Like, okay, the product I bought last month is the same company, but they've pivoted and now they're a different product. So, like, my head is totally spinning around that.
Yeah.
So are you seeing that in the UK as much with really more focus into the objectives they've started out with, or are they just pivot machines like we're seeing over here in the US?
It's very similar. It's kind of very similar across Europe, really. Lots of startups looking to solve, sometimes just one problem, which could be a niche problem. They don't get that. They might pick up a few clients. They don't get the traction they need. They then start to solve another problem. Things just get very confusing, basically. And I think that there's so much. I think one of the problems is there's so much money coming into the sector. You know, there are so many, in investors sort of looking at this and thinking, well, recruitment's broken, and if we can back the people who are going to fix it, then we're going to make a lot of money. So, lots of money coming into the sector. Lots of it is being spent on marketing and branding and advertising, which kind of ups the amount of noise and kind of reduces the overall traction, because there are lots of sort of people competing to solve the same problem, and it makes for quite a confusing landscape. But things are changing, and it's really important that people, going back to that same thing, just understand what are the problems they need to solve, and how best to solve them.
Excellent. So I think we're at a good spot right now where we can probably like close out, and then we can talk about, possibly doing this again sometime, because we just talked about a very small sliver of a lot of what's going on out there. So does that sound good to you guys?
That sounds for me. I think we should both say like, hey, for those listening on Matt's show, you can find out more about us at chadcheese.com. And for anyone listening on our show, Matt, where can they find out more about you?
You can go to rfpodcast.com or just search for Recruiting Future in any podcasting app or on Spotify or wherever you access your podcasts.
And you'll be able to see us on stage at Recfest in London, right? You're going to be on the R100 stage.
Absolutely.
In London. That's July 11th. And we're going to be closing out the show.
Can we come crash your presentation?
Yeah, you can. I'm doing a kind of a panel debate about automation in recruitment.
Oh, dude.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And my session is before the bars open, so and your session is kind of right at the end of the day. So the audience reaction might be slightly different. Well, it should be an interesting event, definitely.
What we should do is we should do that panel before the bars open, and then do it the exact same panel on the main stage after, and everybody has to be drunk when we're doing that. So I mean, that would be, I think that's a good balance between the two.
I think that's a great idea. And knowing most of the people on my panel, I think they'd be well up for that.
Excellent, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Fantastic. So, well, thank you for being on my show, and thank you very much for inviting me on your show.
Take care.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye. My thanks to Chad and Joel. You can subscribe to the Recruiting Future podcast in Apple Podcasts or via your podcasting app of choice. The show also has its own dedicated app, which you can find by searching for Recruiting Future in your app store. If you're a Spotify user, you can also find the show there. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.